And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about y'all. Huntsville over to Chattanooga, Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden. Big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, we are in 3:30 on a Thursday afternoon. You know what that means. We're going to do a little round of what we like to call Butters and Lee. So let me call the roll. On the phone lines with us, she comes in here and filibusters at times and rails us with her opinions, and she's good at it. And that's Lee from Huntsville. Hey, Lee, how you doing?
Hey, I didn't realize I was railing someone. Okay.
Good day to you. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right. And then turning to my right in studio right now, sitting here with us, the ever-present Butters. Hey, Butterman, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Phil. How are you?
I am good. All right, well, I pronounced the quorum, so obviously we got it. Let's hit some whoop-whoops and do some Butters and Lee. All right, you guys, y'all know how this works. I ask y'all questions. I just kind of throw them out there, and we see where things stand, and then we flip the script second round, and y'all ask me questions, and I just wait to see what happens. So let me ask you a question. So we've been running a poll, and I'm kind of almost spoon-feeding this one because Butters is the one who handles the newsletter and the poll, being our digital guy. But we've been running a poll on our daily e-newsletter, the Right Side Report, asking which of Trump's nominees is the most important. And people have been like tagging in and saying, you know, this one and that one. Here's my question for you. What are your thoughts on which one, like the poll, which one of these Trump nominees is the most important? If you had to have one right away, which one would it be and why? Lee, you first.
I would probably say that it's the Attorney General, because that position kind of sets the tone for the administration. But it's followed extremely closely by, you know, Secretary of Defense, which kind of sets the tone for us internationally. But I would still say Attorney General. I think Pam Bondi's going to be really good. I felt like she's done an excellent job in the hearing so far. She's very professional, even with the weirdo whack job questions from some of the senators just trying to make a name for themselves by, you know, being shrieky and weird.
I would totally agree. And I think she not only held her own, she was like combative without being combative, meaning she was like professional, no, that's not the way we're going to play this game kind of responses. And I thought those were great. All right.
Agreed.
Anything else on that one? So you think Pam Bondi is the most important for Attorney General to get her in at least first, right?
I think she's going to be easier to push forward than Hegseth, although I think Hegseth really improved his standing by his hilarious at times statements and questions and the way he responded. But I think he's probably more important to get in because he's more iffy. She'll be fine. She's going to sail on in. And let's not underestimate RFK for what is it? Is it Health and Human Services? Whatever he's over. Because he's we see red number, whatever the heck, I think it's 3, that just got, the government decides all of a sudden they're going to ban it. That's because he's coming in. So I wouldn't underestimate his influence either, but it's nowhere near as much as the other two.
You want to talk about Rubio or anybody else while we're at it? I mean, I'm just, like, you're just running the whole list, honestly.
Well, you asked the question, sir.
Okay.
You did not give me parameters.
Butters, which of these nominees is the most important singular that you would like to see first?
Well, starting in spot number 8, no, I'm kidding. So first off, you just turned me down.
I did not mean to turn you down. I touched the gain slightly.
Pam definitely is not there to do the senator's homework.
Pam Bondi.
I don't know if
that was
you
a great
caught
line,
that
by
comment.
The way.
Okay, so serious answer to the question. I think I'm probably pretty in line with the results we're getting on the poll from everybody between Hegseth and Patel, FBI versus DOD. I would say in the current state of America right now, that FBI position, I think if I had to narrow it down to one, putting Cash Patel in there is critical to to the future of what we're going to do as a country. So,
okay.
The DOD has got there's a lot of work to do there, but like we got internal issues, and I think the FBI is definitely a big piece of that.
Well, that's interesting. So all three of us differ because mine is Pete Hegseth, and I say that because lawyer Phil talking, not just soldier Phil. The Constitution requires civilian oversight of our military. And I think this is a very unstable world, and one of the most dangerous times for any battlefield is during a transition of leadership. You know, a passage of lines, a new unit takes over the front lines, or whatever the case may be. I really feel like that our enemies are watching, and if somebody wanted to try and capitalize on our moments, it would be during the transition. And so to me, we also need to get, we're hearing so many stories right now about people inside the Pentagon trying to sabotage Trump already. I'm of the mind, get them in there now. The DOJ, Pam Bondi's super important. I think she's next, but because she'll even supervise Cass Patel as FBI. But the reality is you can't bring a case, a legal case right away, but you can defend a war right away. I'm going Pete Hegseth. And so what I think I heard was you're going with Cash Patel, and then apparently Lee's going with everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
No, I would say in general, my thought process, I don't disagree. The DOD, there's a lot to fix and a lot of issues, but right now, like restoring a sense of transparency and trust internal to our own country right now, in general, if that makes sense. So maybe DOJ,
I get that.
But really reinvigorating that. I think the DOD, whoever they get in there will be good.
All right. Let me jump on next question. We got about 4 minutes left before we go to the break. So let's do this. Weird thing happened in the Georgia State Legislature. A lot of folks don't realize that that every state has its own. People do, but they don't. They don't pay attention to it as much. But the state legislatures are hugely important. I used to be a state senator. I didn't even realize how important until I got down there because of all the things I became a part of once I was there. In Georgia, just to our east, which we have listeners in Georgia, they also have in a number of states, they've been a new trend, and I've been a part of the organization that's been working on that. Club for Growth helps establish these freedom caucuses for state legislatures, the most conservative members of the body getting together in one caucus. The vice chair for the Freedom Caucus in Georgia's state Senate was just arrested today on the order of the Georgia Speaker of the House, simply because he apparently had made accusations of corruption against a former Speaker of the House, who I think is even dead. And they not only arrested him, they arrested him for merely trying to walk into the House chamber to watch the State of the State address by the governor. And he was told he was not welcome as a senator. And he was knocked down by state troopers and arrested and taken away in handcuffs as a state senator, just merely walking around in the legislative chambers. I may have poisoned the well with the question, but I think I know where you guys stand. And I'm going to go back to Lee first, if you don't mind. Lee, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, and he was shoved hard to the ground, too, like all the way to the ground. I need people to see. He was, like, shoved off his feet and then arrested. I can't understand how this is legal, first of all.
Yeah.
But I think not only did he make net disparaging comments about the former speaker or whatever, and, like, who couldn't do that in our state, right?
Right.
But I'm saying he also made disparaging comments about, I think, why Fannie Willis wasn't removed. I mean, I think he tweaked some noses, but I don't understand how it's legal, even if you say stuff. We got people in our legislature that say bat crap crazy stuff, and they can still come.
Yeah.
So I don't know how it's legal. I don't understand.
And I don't know how you can also bar a member of the legislature from walking into the actual chamber where they do their business. That's just amazing to me. He represents 200,000 people as a part of his Senate district. I'm sorry. Hey, Butters, how you feel about it?
I'm
started talking.
I'm starting to feel like I'm being banned from, I think it's crazy. It sounds like as best I can piece together, it sounds like it was a situation that was handled poorly.
Yeah.
If the intent was, cause he was disruptive at one point, and so you want to the least disruptive thing would have been to just not make a deal of it. Because as I understand what they've charged him with is obstruction of like law enforcement officers or something like that, which sounds to me like basically because he was trying to get through the law enforcement officers to get into the state of the state address. So, how is that legal? Did he say something that he might not, should have said? Possibly, but that sounds like a conversation between men or, legislators going, hey, let's not do that anymore. But yeah, it's pretty crazy.
It is pretty crazy. And listen, I can just tell you for a fact that there are, and every state's different, so I'm not sure exactly what they have as a governing overarching body, but I'm almost positive they have an ethics commission in Georgia like we do in Alabama. If there was an ethical violation, then they could have taken it to the ethics commission for review. If there was something that he did that was inappropriate or a violation of the rules of the House and Senate, which they have rules and they have decorum, and I get it. I mean, you're not allowed, like in the Senate chamber in Alabama, you can't, a male member of the Senate cannot walk in without wearing a tie. There's a dress code. You have to wear a tie. But at the same time, you look at it and go, this was a case where you can censure someone publicly. You can have a hearing on it. You can bring him up on charges of ethical violations and have it reviewed. But to simply have the state troopers order to go out there and knock him to the ground and cuff him because he's trying to walk into the House chamber, my God, this is a whole new day.
Could you do that in the state of Alabama, Phil?
Like, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Now the Speaker of the House, generally speaking, even in D.C., has the governing authority for the security of the body. And so they do. They are allowed to have the troopers, remove protesters and all that kind of stuff. But he's a sitting senator. That's the problem.
Well, and so the other thought goes through my mind of the Leos, the state troopers, and what decision matrix that is, which, that's a tough spot to put them in because, in theory they could have turned around and said, well, no, like we're not doing that, but I really hate to armchair quarterback those kind of decisions made on the scene.
But I can't imagine how there's a real upside to this. I'll tell you a quick anecdote. Remember this early last year when they had the Kevin McCarthy speaker votes and Matt Gaetz was the one who was kind of holding out, and Alabama's own Mike Rogers, there's some question about whether he was really going to fight, but Mike Rogers had to be restrained on the floor of the House during the votes for speaker, and yet nobody called for his resignation, and he did publicly apologize for it. But the reality is stuff happens. Yeah. And you look at it and think, be big boys and
go watch Parliament.
I tell you what, real fun. Go watch like a Korean Parliament or Taiwanese Parliament.
South Korea.
Thailand. Yeah. Out.
You want to get Americans paying more attention to their government? We live stream that kind of stuff. We might get a bit more attention.
Instead of having the well of the House to debate bills, you debate inside an octagon. It'd be great. All right, listen.
Watch MTG come off the ropes on AOC. I bet
Dana White could put that together.
I am pretty sure MTG would have that one like in a heartbeat. Although I think AOC is kind of like a little spider monkey. I think she probably could make it trouble. But all right, listen, we're taking a break right now. That's round one of Butters and Lee. We come right back. We flip the script. And what we got then is they ask me questions and I wait to see what they got and hope that off the cuff I can find an answer. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're back to round two of Butters and Lee. We take the last few minutes of this segment. We call it section two. And this is where we flip the script and they ask me questions and I just kind of wait to see what they are. So I'm going to go, I tell you what, I went Lee first on the last two questions. So I'll flip it over here. Butterman, what question do you have from Wah?
Okay, so Pam Bondi.
Yep.
As I'm watching some of this ridiculousness.
I think she's a natural blonde.
Yes. So they're making a big deal about loyalty to Trump as the AG. Yeah. And, it occurred to me, thinking about our AG in Alabama, who is an elected official versus an appointment. And, which if you really kind of want to solve the loyalty issue or question, why do we not do an elected, federal AG First off, this is just kind of looking for pontification on that, and just Pam Bondi in general, coming in as AG, and you know, where things might go with that. And your thoughts? Pretty broad, but
that is so. Okay, so first of all, attorneys general around the nation, they're not all elected. Like more than half is my recollection.
Okay.
But there are, I think state of Tennessee, y'all Chattanooga people, correct me if you want to, but I think the state of Tennessee, their attorney general is actually appointed by the state Supreme Court. Maine, I believe, is appointed by the governor. But then multiple states like Alabama, we elect our attorney general. And yes, it does create a separation of powers. It gives them the ability to remain sort of even keeled and separate from the influence of the, do you up my game? What just happened? The governor themselves. And that can be very healthy. On the federal side, I'd have to look, but I think that's a constitutional office. So I don't know that you could just say, let's change that. It would be a very, but I like the fact that right now it's a part of the cabinet. I do think it builds a team, and you avoid having a whole lot of I don't like you, so I'm going after you, while I also technically kind of work with you and for you. So anyway, I don't know, man. It's a mixed bag, but at the state level, it's also a mixed bag. I can't even begin to describe. I mean, I like the fact that we elect our state attorney general. I'm okay with the fact that we appoint our and confirm our. But at least, by the way, you do have the backup of confirmation.
Yeah.
There are people who have been tapped for nomination before that quickly did not make it. So I'm not sure I'm even answering your question. But
no, I it was more just a let's pull that string and see, because I'm just trying to think about, is like you alluded to, the conflict that caused, if they're, you know, okay, so now you got a Democrat AG, somehow it gets in there.
That could happen.
And you know, that, yeah, it's just.
And that would happen, by the way. And I think are times when that would have been very difficult. And by the way, even Republicans don't always get along. Troy King, Bob Riley, that was a problem. We only got 1 minute left, so let me turn to Lee. Lee, you got a question for me I can deal with quickly?
Oh, wow. And I got, you know, called on being too long, huh?
Well, yeah.
No, I was just going to say, your thoughts on Biden's, I don't know, I'm leaving office speech. I wish he'd just get out. Stop talking, but his speech on, you know, not wanting to centralize power with all American oligarchs, as he put it,
yeah,
who he's talking about is Elon Musk, but when all the other oligarchs always worked in his favor, as well as giving a medal of freedom to the devil himself, George Soros. I just found that highly, highly hypocritical. What do you think?
I was beyond hypocritical. Yeah, my opening monologue, you may have missed it, my opening monologue was on that entire thing, and I really think that the height of hypocrisy was watching him call out so-called oligarchs centralizing power after giving the Presidential Medal of Freedom to George Soros. And oh, by the way, the Democrats raised twice and spent twice as much money as the Republicans did during the election cycle, and they can't even account for all of it. They had so much. So who's got the money now? All right, you guys, I appreciate both of you. Butters and Lee, we'll have you again next Thursday. Love y'all. See you.